Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Okay, TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go on the world's greatest radio. You now are in touch with the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and this is radio the way it should be heard. Our on topic today is intelligent resistance. If you missed any of the first hour, it is now available, or it is available on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Listen live, although the listen live part is what's going on right now, but it will be up at 10 p.m. tonight where you can listen to it and get a better understanding of intelligent resistance. Before we go to the phone lines, and you can call in, by the way, at 1-877-932-9766. Mr. Fuller was discussing the black male impotency. A caller called in and suggested a movie called The Edge, and Mr. Fuller was addressing that. We're going to go back to that, but first, let's get this call going on. Okay, caller, go ahead. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question? I can't hear you, caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling... I actually have two questions. The first one, it seems as though the format may have changed, at least to me anyway, because normally when I tune into the program, I set my clock to it early, and something like 8:55. I'm in Miami, Florida, so I, Mr. Fuller and I are on the same clock time. And normally what it is, it's a nice-sounding lady who's talking about oils. It used to be anyway. And then it would go to Mr. Fuller's program at 9 a.m. But now when I turn the program on, Mr. Fuller is already on even before 9 a.m. So I was just trying to figure out on what are the changes or am I incorrect?
No, it's still 9 o'clock. Mr. Fuller, as a matter of fact, Mr. Fuller calls in before nine and waits until we cue him in. So I don't know what's going on with that, but 9 a.m. is when the program starts.
When the program starts.
Okay, now I have a question that's related why Mr. Fuller is on the program. To Mr. Fuller, I hear, and probably you also hear, non-white people who are racially classified as non-white black, stating that the white male by the name of Donald Trump is dumb, stupid, that sort of thing. Do you see any constructive thought and process in calling a white person that's in a position of authority dumb and stupid? That's my question.
Okay. Ms. Fuller?
No. I don't see where that helps at all. I mean, if it does, somebody has to point it out to me. If I call Mr. Donald Trump dumb and stupid, what effect does that have? What does that do for me other than make me, you might say, feel good, if that's what I'm seeking to do. It all comes down to, what is it I'm trying to do? Am I trying to make myself feel good? Well, that might make me feel good. Everybody likes to, what you call, quote, unquote, feel good. But counter-racist codification is scientific. It's about solving problems. So if I feel good, and then that feeling good helps me to solve a problem, which is primarily the race problem, then put it to work. But I guess you have to feel good in order to do constructive work, maybe. Or you can, quote, unquote, feel bad and still do constructive work. But if you can feel good and do constructive work, that's probably a plus. And if you can feel good by calling President Trump a lot of names and make yourself feel better because you called him some names, well, maybe that works. But the code says you don't call anybody by any name publicly except the name that that person wants to be called. I wouldn't call President Trump stupid, all right, because in order to do what? I mean, what would I gain from that? But like I said, it might make me feel better once I do it. Lots of black people call names all day long. We call lots of people names. We got all kind of names to call people. In fact, that term MF is associated with black people all the way. I mean, more than any other term. Black males in particular and some black females. We use that term to describe everything. Describe the sky. Describe a cloud. Describe the bus when it's late. Describe the people on the bus. I mean, that's the way we are.
Yes,
in the Northwestern Hemisphere.
Okay.
And I guess it makes us feel better.
Okay.
But I don't know about what it does in making us better people.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Fuller. With that being said, and you always said that to ask questions, what would be, using compensatory logic, what would be the constructive result of calling the president out of his name, or dumb, as the caller suggests? What would be the constructive result of that?
Well, like I said, it might help some people to feel better.
Help them do what?
And then when they, I don't know, the person who says that they felt better when they did it, that's the person who would have to describe, now that you feel better, after having called the president about 15 or 20 or 30 or maybe 200 favorite names that you have come up with, and you said it made you feel better, now that you feel better, what does that mean functionally?
You're still in the question mode.
What is going to change? That would be my question.
Okay.
I mean, and the person could tell me. They'd say, well, before I did that, I felt bad. Now that I've done that, I feel good. And now that I feel good, all of a sudden, I know what to do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, because it all comes down to not how you feel, but what you do.
Okay, got it.
Okay, not how you feel, but what you do as a result of how you feel.
Okay.
That is the bottom line.
That's the bottom
line.
That's
the thing for everybody to watch for.
Okay. Now, this lady who wrote in about the suggestion about the movie called The Edge, and she said that it really shows the impotency of black males in the system of racism, which is white supremacy. Let me ask you this. Now, people saw there were images of Mr. William Cosby or Bill Cosby being in handcuffs and shuffled off to prison. Wherever he's gone, immediately. He didn't even have a chance to go home after the decision dropped. Okay, but then a photograph was shown of at least 20 well-known sexual predators, Mr. Fuller, that had done the same thing or even similar or even worse than what Mr. Cosby had done, and yet they are free. And walking about whatever their situation is. I'm not going to mention the name. You've seen them in the news. These images, does this, in your opinion, if you have seen some of these or even heard of some of these people and the images that are left, is particularly on the television screen, does that show the impotency of the black male?
Sure. Everything shows it, because it's the truth anyway. The black male person in the system of white supremacy has no power. That's what white supremacy means. It doesn't make any difference how much money he has, how much money she has. I mean, it's a black female. Any person of color. Zero power is what we have, except the power to kill somebody on an individual level. But then you pay the price for that in the prison system called the system of white supremacy. It means you're rendered powerless, less power than the white supremacists.
Yes.
You always have that.
Okay.
Money won't do it for you.
Okay.
When the white supremacists, because why? The white supremacists decide which black person will have money and which black person will not have it, and the time and place. The white supremacists, money has a source.
Yes.
Money has a value. The white supremacists put the value on all money. They are the ones who produce the money.
Okay.
Most of the times, the money that is most important have pictures of some white supremacists on the money.
Yes.
And they have proven that they were white supremacists, because some of them were, in the Northwestern Hemisphere, were slave owners. I mean, which they bragged about, owning slaves. And so then the slave gets his hands on that money and say, this is something that I worship. My money is where it's at, man. I mean, I got plenty of it. I mean, you know, yes. And the person who values that money, who puts the value on the money, because money has no value until the white supremacist says that it has.
The assigned value.
Right, it's just a whole bunch of paper, or it's diamonds, or it's gold. Gold has no value except maybe to put in your teeth or something like that, or you're going to use it for some purpose that is practical, other than just saying that the gold is worth such and such a thing.
Yes, sir.
It's the white supremacists who say what that gold is worth.
Mm-hmm.
If the white supremacists say that gold has no value as of 12 o'clock today, it no longer has any value, even though people have been killing people to try to get gold all down through the ages. If the white supremacists announce that starting with today, gold has no value at all, you better believe gold will have no value at all. Everybody who has gold stored up somewhere and thought that they had something valuable, if the white supremacists say it's no longer valuable, then silver is going to be the thing, all right? Then you better rush out and get yourself some silver, because that gold is of no value. Why? Because the white supremacist said so.
Yes. Wow. Okay. To the caller that had called in before that said he couldn't hear or was having difficulties, well, most of us who listen to are involved with this program know that there are other outside forces in play that do not want the message that Mr. Fuller gives out, or suggestions that he gives out. So occasionally we're going to have something. But Mr. Fuller's program airs live at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. He doesn't start before that. That could be a previous program that's finishing its cycle. I understand that there's going to be some changes made, but there will be no changes to what Mr. Fuller is doing from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern time. That's going to stay the same. So I mentioned he has his timer set for that. Well, you can set your timer on that. 9 until 11, Mr. Fuller is live. That's live programming, no replay or anything like that. So just keep that in mind. Particularly this week, I understand we're going to change our clocks back, so don't get all messed up like that. Every year somebody gets messed up on that. But that's what we want to do, and we are still speaking of intelligent resistance. That term is in the book. A caller or somebody wrote in and wanted to know, you know, if that was a term in the book. Mr. Victor Palmer had brought the use of that in, and this is our second discussion on intelligent resistance. And Mr. Fuller has been making suggestions as to how to what to do into that, and understanding that men has to have a code. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller, caller.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, you need to speak up a little bit. I can't hear you. Can you hear him, Mr. Fuller?
I can't hear him.
Okay.
1 second.
All righty.
Better now?
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Fuller, can you hear him now?
I can hear him.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. How you doing, Mr. Fuller? I called last week. I have another question for you. Me and my mom were having a conversation yesterday, and I told her, I said, if you think about it, if black people stop their foolishness, we got our act together, and we did what we needed to do, and, you know, things like that, do you think that the white supremacists would be jealous? Like, they... For example, when you look into history, you hear about them bombing cities and stuff like that. So we're kind of in a bad situation, because even if we did stop the madness that we're doing, I could see them being real jealous. What do you think about that?
Well, the white supremacists do not want the non-white people of the planet to do anything of constructive value. They are in charge of everything that's supposed to be constructive. That's the way they look at the entire world. Why? Because it keeps the power with them. When people do stupid things, which black people are taught to worship doing stupid things, all right, we are actually taught to find something stupid to do and do it, and do as much of it as we possibly can, all right, because that's supposed to be the definition of a black person. Stupidity. Glorified, glamorized stupidity. Just anything stupid. Call a black person in and say, hey, this is your department. Something stupid. Okay? And we're supposed to leave with armloads of stupidity to spread around other black people and do just as many stupid things as we can possibly think of doing. And many of us have embraced stupidity as being the best way to exist on this planet called Earth. Just find something stupid to do and do as much of it as you possibly can, okay? And call it living. Call it fun. Call it black culture, which black culture now consists of tons of stupid things.
Yes, sir.
All right? What we brag about is being black culture. You back up off of it, and look what other people do that's called progress. And what we're doing is in the stupid category. But we'll call it progress. We'll say this is progressive. I mean, because it's nice and stupid. That fits black people. I mean, you know, just a list of things. Just look at all the things that black people brag about, okay, and whatnot. And just see how many of them or any of any real constructive value. That's
okay.
Why black people a lot of times say that the people come here in the northwestern hemisphere, we say that people come here from other places, and a lot of them look like us, but they don't want to have anything to do with us. They don't, you know, they treat us with disrespect. Well, look at us. Look at us. Are we the people that everybody in the world should be copying? If you're going to get things done that make sense,
mm-hmm.
Are we, black people in the shape that we're in now, are we the people that everybody in the world should be looking to for leadership? To copy. Copy whatever you see black people doing, copy that. If people came here from another planet, just have us look at ourselves and say, are we the people that should be copied? And the world would be exactly the way that it ought to be. if everybody copied everything that we do. Not the things that we say we should be doing, but the things that we actually do among ourselves.
Okay.
If everybody dropped what they're doing and did what black people do each and every day, would the world be a better place?
Would it be? Okay.
The answer, according to the code, is absolutely not.
Okay. Before I take this call, I have to do this. TalkTeamAtRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I am going to share with you, and it's a good show, and it's called Wiggins World. Now, I've met Stacey Wiggins, and the brother just brings it live, instructs you on various forms of relaxation or how to blend in with what's going on in the world, in your environment, you know, through the use of exercise, meditation, and so forth. All types of things that have to do with holistic wellness. In fact, he and Libby and myself have gotten together and had this discussion. But you want to make sure that if you're having stress problems or any type of thing like that, tune into Wiggins World, and Stacy will break it down, help identify what is and can possibly offer you some suggestions as to holistic healing. His program and all the programs that are on TalkTainmentRadio.com, just go to the homepage, look it up. It's there. Get the information and then check it out. Don't just hear it. Check it out. Even the book that Mr. Fuller has and the book that's been going on now, Sex Code War. Don't just talk about it. Do something about it. Read. Understand it. Get the information and comply and apply compensatory logic to that. Can you do that? Don't just talk about it. Do something about that. All that from TalkTeamAtRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. I am Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller Jr. We're talking about intelligent resistance. You have to have a code. If you missed the first hour, make sure that you get the second hour. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. This is Brother Muko from Baltimore.
Hey, Brother Muko. Yes, sir.
Story constructive action discussions here. We'll be doing this Saturday coming up, but not next Saturday because I'll be in New York at the filming of Race War with Jason Black. But this is my question for you, Mr. Fuller. Can you please elaborate for my care unit in Baltimore and all around the world how being serious about silliness kills us as non-white people in a system of racism, white supremacy?
About how what now?
How being serious about silliness kills us in this system of racism, white supremacy. You know, being serious about silly stuff and being silly about serious stuff.
Oh, yes. Black people have been trained. We have been trained to be serious about everything that's silly.
That's right.
And we have been trained to be silly about everything that is serious. And we're that way in our conversations. If it's something serious, we'll make it silly. We're not satisfied until we make it silly. We're going to have, you know, just have the silliness take over anything that's serious, okay? And if it's something that is serious, we're going to see to it that we make it into something that is silly. We do just the reverse from what everybody with any bit of what you might call intelligent intent is trying to do. Squirrels are always trying to do something that solves problems. Black people have been trained to make problems and to giggle about it. Make a problem and really, I mean, hey, this is funny because we have made a problem. And that includes right up to gang banging and all like that. That's silly.
Yes.
I-L-L-Y. Gang banging by definition is silly stuff. You don't get paid for that. You don't get anything constructive out of it. All you get is just a whole bunch of dead bodies lying around and a whole bunch of weary-looking black people in front of funerals and ragged dolls hanging on a fence.
Yeah, teddy bears.
That's all that comes out of that. It's nothing constructive at all.
Yes.
But tribes, not only in the, just in the Northwestern Hemisphere, but all over the world, black people engage in that silly nonsense. I mean, that nonsense is silly, and silly is nonsense. But just anything that's non-constructive, we just embrace it. Go looking for it.
Because we've been taught that.
If it's not there, then, hey, we got to make it. We got to make this happen.
Wow.
I mean, this don't. We go into a situation and we say, oh, man, this is too clean. The streets are clean and everything is all pretty and whatnot. Oh, hey, if it's black, it's supposed to be ugly. Okay, everything is supposed to be ugly, and the ugliest things is supposed to be us and the way we act and talk. Let's get some ugly talk around here. I mean, that's more like home, you know. If it ain't a lot of ugly talk, something putting somebody down, something saying derogatory, I mean, breaking a window, just anything like that, that's us. That's black culture at its best, and we want more of it. And if you take it away from us, you are insulting black people. That's what black culture has become. Truth be told. So we need a code that just eliminates all of that. Every bit of it. Why? Because it is worthless.
Yes.
It is not constructive. We need to get into a constructive mode about every move that we make, and that includes everything that we say. It needs to be codified.
Yes.
To have a constructive effect, and everything that we do.
Yes, sir.
Is codified to have a constructive effect. Everything.
All
right. Without exception.
Okay. Brother Mukko, thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work you're doing in Baltimore. Thank you so much.
Absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely, Mr. Bobby. And Mr. Bobby, I'm going to have a few more shirts sent to you and Brother Tramp.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. All righty. Yeah, Brother Mukko calls in and gives us up the latest information. Good stuff going down there in Baltimore, trying to produce justice. Mr. Fuller, somebody wrote in about the use of the word MF and why it is, or seems to be, so powerful. In the remaining a couple of minutes before we go to the break, can you explain why that particular word is so powerful? Seems to be so powerful among black folk?
Well, I haven't done any research on it. I just know that I first started hearing it when I was in the military, and I noticed that black people used it more than the white people. So I see white people cringe sometimes when the word is used, and maybe that's why black people were using it. I don't know. I don't know how that caught on and got to be the standard bearer for black language. I mean, that's mostly associated with black people. I mean, that particular term, everything is a MF.
White man taught us?
Oh, we walk down the street and we say MF. We're talking on an iPad. MF this and MF that.
Oh, look at that black MF?
Yeah, look at that. The trees are MFs.
Yeah.
The clouds are MFs. The bus is coming down the street. That MF is late. All right? And that driver, I mean, who is a black female, looked just like my mother.
Whoa.
She's an MF.
Whoa.
All right? That's the way we talk. And we think that this is wonderful. This is beautiful. This adds to us.
That's silly.
I mean, you know, now I'm becoming stronger. I mean, you know, I'm an example for the entire world.
Mm.
Everybody stop what you're doing and turn around and look at me.
Mm.
I got about 50 different MFs for everybody. And I got some to give away. I mean, I got some to spare. I'm going to keep a bunch of them for myself. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That's the black male more than anybody, and a growing number of black females.
Yeah. I got to leave it there. I don't want to, but I got to leave it there.
Yes.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. We have more of your phone calls and some outstanding Gmails, and we're going to speak about our brother from South Africa that had a question for Mr. Fuller. All that and more coming up next here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Everyone's talking about the Meet the Candidates form. St. Dominic Roman Catholic Church, 453 North 20th Street, Columbus, Ohio. Saturday, October 20th from 10 to 1 with S. Yolanda Robinson and Kahari Inoharo as moderators. It's sponsored by Blacks in Government, Federally Employed Women, and a host of other organizations. Come out and meet the candidates and find out who really supports your issue.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inoharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
We thank you for your emails and your feedback, and we are working very hard for you. We have supported the Compensatory Code since 1975. We believe that it is the only system of thought, speech, and action that enables us to move in the correct direction to work toward the production of justice. But right now, we need your help. If we're going to continue the Compensatory Concept Show each week, we need your support. Now, we thank you and deeply appreciate what you've already donated. Please help us to continue to get the Compensatory Code system of thought, speech, and action out. Please donate today. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and hit the yellow donate button on the front page. Donate. We appreciate any amount that you can give. We thank you so much.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
All righty. We We are in the fourth quarter of the two-hour program. Let's say this. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. I am Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And our on topic today is intelligent resistance. And I'm going to say this. I'm very proud of you callers for calling in with your questions, particularly your questions about intelligent resistance. I hope that the suggestions that Mr. Fuller has made will have addressed your issues and we can move on. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I got a VG. Well, wow, okay. Thank you. Okay, here we go here. There's been a lot of questions about the so-called concept called Africa, in particular South Africa. And we have a brother that writes to us regularly named Brother Sepifalo, if I pronounce it right, which I probably didn't. But anyway, this is what he said. He said, Mr. Neely Fuller, I haven't traveled the whole of Africa, but I'd say that in Africa, probably the largest number of white people is in South Africa. Blacks all over Africa come to South Africa because we have white people. Even though we have white people, I've realized that the majority of black people in South Africa have not had real contact with white people. Very few black people in South Africa live or school with white people. As a result, black people believe about white people what they have been taught or what the whites portray in public. But when I was in high school, a white female teacher of mine told me, quote, never to take white people at face value. End of quote. I see most of the blacks who were able to live in the same areas as whites have a tendency to think that they're white, and black people who have never had contact with white people are petrified of them. We never came out of our apartheid. When black people work hard and obtain money to be able to buy houses in the white neighborhoods, the whites just leave. The whites do not seem to be interested in living side to side with black people. When we want to correct the injustices, i.e. Land exploration, free education, nationalizing the bank, the white supremacists say that we are being racist. We're not even saying that they should leave Africa. We're saying let us share, please. Let us all share in the wealth of this land. Seems like they, the racist white supremacists, are not interested in justice. Mr. Fuller, my question to you, do you see this as unusual?
No, that's business as usual. The system of white supremacy is worldwide, and it never stopped. All they did is just refined it in South Africa. They say, hey, and they just like in the Northwestern Hemisphere, they'll say, we'll give a black person a title. You'll have a title, but we'll still be in control.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you can be president, okay? You can strut around. You can ride around in a limousine all you want to. We got plenty of limousines. We got limousines, I mean, to spare for everybody. We don't care anything about limousines. We can have millions of them. We can have everybody in a limousine if we wanted to, all right? But give that black person a limousine, give them a suit and a tie. In fact, give them 2,000 suits and ties. We don't care. We got plenty of them. We got clothes to burn, okay? All right, they don't know that, but we do. We have everything. There's nothing we don't have. Plenty of. Plenty for everybody. But we control everything, and we control all people of color. 24 hours a day, even when they don't know they're being controlled. And let's keep it that way. It's called what? In capital letters, the system of white supremacy. It's the most powerful most well thought out government and religion that has ever been produced in the minds of the people of this entire planet.
Yes.
Nothing has been greater than the system of white supremacy in every area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. The white supremacists control it all when it comes to people who are classified as non-whites. And that includes everything that goes on in what we call the nation of South Africa.
Okay.
Which really doesn't exist. What you have in what they call South Africa is just white supremacy, like you have everywhere on the planet.
Okay.
There's one government on the planet, and that's the name of it, the system of white supremacy.
All righty. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, with your call.
Good morning. This is James calling from North Carolina.
Yes, James.
Mr. Fuller, the United States government is currently demanding the non-white people of North Korea to bring its nuclear arms program to an immediate end. The U.S. government states that if North Korea develops a full-blown nuclear arms arsenal, that act will be perceived as a threat to the free world. With this in mind, the U.S., Russia, and some other countries, where the vast majority of people are classified as white, already have a full-blown nuclear arms program, but are not expressing any interest in denuclearizing their militaries. What do you think the reason for that is?
To the extent that the white supremacists have anything to do with it, the reasons are to make the system of white supremacy stronger. And I'd like to say this within the context of the use of words. There's no such thing as the United States of America government in the system of white supremacy. That's just a title of something that everybody should want to be. Everybody should want to be a member of the United States of America. Everybody should want to be an African, and everybody should want to be an Asian. Why? Because Americans, Africans, and Asians, by definition, mean people who practice justice. There's no point in being an African if you don't practice justice. There's no point in being an Asian if you don't practice justice. And there's no point in being an American if you don't practice justice. But the fact is, and the truth is, none of these people exist because nobody practices justice. It's impossible for anybody to practice justice in a system of white supremacy. That's the only government. I just said that because the use of words are very important. It's no such thing as the United States of America in the system of white supremacy. That's just a title that applies to people who want to do the correct thing, but it doesn't exist because you cannot have justice in a system of white supremacy on the same planet
right.
at the same time.
It doesn't exist.
It is absolutely impossible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello, sir. I follow your logic.
Right. And so in answer to that question,
I think you're making logical sense. However, why do you think the people who actually are in control of the supreme government call the United States, if there is no such thing as the United States of America? What would be their reason for doing that?
The reason for white supremacists for doing anything is to do what? Make the system of white supremacy stronger. I don't care what they're doing. They don't do anything to make themselves weaker, even when they, like people who are really smart, a real smart prize fighter. I'll make this suggestion. A real smart fighter in a ring or a football player.
Yes.
Always pulls things every now and then, not always, but every now and then, they do what? They make you think that they are weak when they are strong.
Yes.
All right? I mean, a boxer does that. I mean, he will drop that left arm thinking that it's out of order, that you hit him on the shoulder and that left arm is no good no more. And then you get what they call what? A sucker punch. Okay? The white supremacists are the same way.
Yeah.
See what I mean? They do this. They know how to appear weak. See, they're the greatest actors in the world. Woo. Actors and actresses. They know how to act. When they talk to a black person, they know how to come across as being extremely strong and belligerent. Or they know how to sound very, very weak and scared. And they know how to act like they are very loving. I mean, very endearing. Boy, I mean, bring tears to your eyes. They can do all of that. And they teach some of us to do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
They know. They are experts at everything that has to do with controlling the minds and the actions of people.
Master teachers, yes. Mr. Fuller, may I make a comment before we go to your book? Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, may I make a comment before?
Yes, sir. Okay. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I like that you just made that reference to football, because I was just thinking and wrote a few points down. You said how they do that. I call that deception, or in football, they run counter plays, counter to the way that they want you to think things are going. They go the opposite way. And to me, it brought a clarity to the counter racist code. We have to counter with what they've done in order to bring forth justice. And I just thought that what you just said, making a football analogy, was just spot on.
Well, lots of people in the Northwestern Hemisphere know a little bit about football. A lot of black people do. So sometimes you have to make these analogies in that way. That's
yes.
why I do it.
Yes.
I mean, that's something. See, we understand that. When it comes to football, we don't understand it when it comes to racism.
Oh, man, say it. Yeah.
That's all you have to do, is just apply the same thing.
Right.
Okay? You look like you're going to make an onside kick when you ain't going to make one at all.
Right.
You're going to pick up that ball and run down the field.
That's right.
All right? They thought you were going to make an onside kick. You're gone. All right?
Right.
Before anybody knows what happens, you're in the end zone, and they're saying, what? We just lost the Super Bowl. Okay? I mean,
right.
The white supremacists are the experts at that.
The experts. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, Mr. Fuller, this is the time that we designate for your publications. And you said in the last hour that the 1984 edition is available and that a lot of people want that?
Yes, sir. Some people have said that they prefer that. Now, it does have a word guide incorporated in that one volume.
I
mean, that might be the reason. And there are some things in it that are not in the updated version. But the updated, revised, expanded, and 2016 version carries just about everything. Just about everything that's in the original 1984 edition. That's not the real original edition. The real original edition consists of just about 6 pages, I mean, that I had back in 1956. But in the 1984 edition, I usually call that original. That's
mm-hmm.
how it's listed on the website,
mm-hmm.
producejustice.com, as the original, because that was just covered just about everything that I had worked on in a synopsis fashion. Synopsis meaning I put most of the ingredients in it that I wanted to say.
Okay.
In the 1984 edition at that time. Now, that's 1984. Now, from 1984 to 2016, that's quite a few years in between.
Yes, sir.
So between those years, I thought of things of putting into a next volume if I would last long enough to do it. I did manage to get enough years in to get to 2016, in the year 2016, out in the revised expanded edition of the 1984 edition. And then prior to that, I put out a word guide in 2010. And if you see on the cover of the book, it says 2010, copyrighted Neely Fuller. That's the word guide. It shows you, as an individual, the words to use, the words not to use. Not all of them, but a lot of the words. Because there's a lot of words in the English language. I mean, if I was going to use all the words in the English language, wouldn't be able to carry around. If you've ever seen a real dictionary, it's on wheels, because that's what you need. You need a whole wagon to load it around, all right? If you're going to have just most of the words that are in the English language.
Yes.
And you'll find that in a lot of libraries. But I'm talking about using the words that you would use in a codified counter-racist manner.
Thank you.
What words to ask questions about more than anything.
Thank you.
And that's a lot of words.
Yes, sir. Yes,
go
sir.
To producejustice.com,
okay.
And all of the books, all of the volumes are there.
Alrighty.
Producejustice.com.
All right. Thank you. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can still call to get in, but we're going to go to the Gmails. This is from Mrs. T, and she says this, Mr. Fuller. She said, Mr. Fuller, have you ever heard of the movie Imitation of Life? And if so, what are your thoughts on it? I think everyone should watch it, and it will be an asset to your library as well. There are two versions of the 1934 with Claudette Colbert, and the 1959 version with Lana Turner. Mr. Fuller, have you seen or heard of the movie Imitation of Life, and what can be gleaned from that, in your opinion?
Oh, I've seen it, and it's an excellent movie. It's about people passing for white, you know. And also there's another movie called Pinky with Jean Crane.
Pinky?
I think it's in the name. Yeah, P-I-N-K-Y.
Pinky, okay.
Right. And that's an interesting movie along the same lines. And there's another movie called Lost Boundaries. And these movies are not on my list, but I say any movie, anytime a black person is sitting in a theater and you're looking at a screen, look for the lessons that you can walk out of that theater with, that you can use. Lessons that you can use in a constructive manner. Now, a lot of movies are just full of garbage, and a lot of them are directed toward black people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when you come out of that movie, you got a head full of garbage, okay?
Hmm.
Now, that's what you don't want to come out of a movie with.
No.
You want to come out of a movie with something that makes you think. When you look around, you can walk out of a movie, and you see the cars coming and going, people are coming and going, and you should be able to say, after you see the very best of movies, I just learned something that I hadn't thought about before.
Yes.
And I'm going to take a different perspective on some of my thinking after having seen that movie.
Yes.
Now, these are the best movies.
Okay.
Movies that make you think at a level that you didn't think about before. And that level is more of a constructive value than before you saw that movie.
Yes.
Your thinking is at a more constructive level than it was before you saw the movie.
We have it on our graphics right now. I don't know what version of it. Probably the 1959. Yeah, we have it on our YouTube area there where they're showing that. But, yes, I believe you're correct, Mr. Fuller. It is a
Imitation of Life,
yes, Imitation.
Pinky, and Lost Boundaries.
Lost Boundaries.
Those are three movies about black people passing for white people. And what, you know, and some storylines behind what that's about.
Okay.
And the effects. And some of it is based on true stories,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, true stories.
Right.
Okay. My phone line's working or what here? Okay, okay. All right, caller, in the remaining moments, did you have a call for Mr. Fuller? Are we ready for that? Okay. You see what we're going to do? You got me? I'll keep going? Okay. All right, until we get that in. Brother Jermaine, I hope that the announcement concerning the donations for the second hour was sufficient for you. That's where all the donations go, to the second hour of this production, which you wanted. Again, Mr. Fuller and myself are not compensated for this whatsoever. This is it. So I hope, hopefully, your question has been done. Let's see here. People are talking about, wait a minute, here it is. people are talking about this, Mr. Fuller, a statement that you made a couple of weeks ago. In fact, you kept on repeating it, but there are apparently some that do not understand it. And it was written that like this, you said, and this is their quote, "I do at all times give respect the same way or same respect that the flag, I do respect at all times the flag the same way that the flag respects me." Could you give that quote?
No,
just
it's
as
not,
you, okay, I'm just
no,
reading
no,
what they
the
wrote.
Word respect is not in there.
Okay.
Right.
So what did you say?
It's
so that,
relate.
That's
okay.
What they meant to
this
say.
This is a pledge that you can make to any flag and it will be right on point at any time, anywhere. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, you can make that pledge anywhere, anytime, anywhere on the planet, to any flag, and you will be telling the truth. It's impossible not to be telling the truth when you make that pledge. A lot of flag pledges are not telling the truth.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
I'm not going to name them because I don't know the flag pledges, but I'm familiar with, you know, at least one.
Okay, so let's do this.
And there are words in that pledge that do not tell the truth.
Okay.
That's number one.
All right.
See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So this flag pledge is always telling the truth.
Okay, the word is relate, not respect. It's relate.
Yes, right.
Okay,
I do at all times, underline all, even when you're asleep. You're relating to that flag the exact same way that flag is relating to you.
Okay, got it.
It's impossible not to.
Okay, got it. Caller, right. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead quickly.
Hello, am I on?
Go ahead quickly because we're running out of time.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. My name is Bill Moore. I'm from Rochester, New York. And I would just like to add to the movie list something that I thought was very pertinent. There's a movie called The Usual Suspects. And in that movie, what I got out of it was that the main character, the enemy, the person that did the most damage, operated it under what the concept of the familiar mystery, in which he was never known to be the person that was doing all the evil.
Kaiser Soze or whatever?
Right. Kevin Spacey was the main character, and nobody saw what he was doing. He operated right in the midst of the people, his victims, and he made everybody a victim. He was always underestimated. They didn't think he had the ability or anything to do what he did. And it was just an excellent movie, and it's an appropriate title for what we do.
Yeah, The Usual Suspects is that movie.
The Usual Suspects.
Yes.
The guy that was the actual villain operated right in the face of everybody. And I would just like, if you would, Mr. Fuller, to please expound a little bit, talk a little bit about the concept of the familiar mystery.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, you have about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, that's a term I used in the textbook. And I say that black people, non-white people, are looking at white people all day long in a lot of places. Now, somebody called in earlier from South Africa and say that's not true in South Africa. There's a lot of black people who don't come in contact with white people at all. All right, because the white supremacists got it set up that way. Okay, they deliberately did that so that contact is not there. But in many, many parts of the world, like in the Northwestern Hemisphere, black people are looking at white people all day long in most places and whatnot. And many of these, not all, but obviously, I mean logically, many of these white people are white supremacists.
Okay.
Not all. I never say all. I say many of them, the most powerful ones, the smartest ones, are white supremacists.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr.
Based on evidence.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller. We got to leave it there. They're on me. But thank you so much. Thank you, callers. I wasn't trying to rush him off the phone, but they say I got to do this.
They are the familiar mystery.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Thank you for the pleasure of your time. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. We'll see you next week with another 2-hour program.